Okay, we will come back on the record. And Mr. Burson, do you have other background you want to provide?
Yeah,
on House Bill 3505.
I apologize, Chair Hunt, but another opinion that the Commission had put out back in October 7th of 2008 was also brought to my attention, and it actually concerned the acceptance of access to Nike Incorporated. And one of the answers in here that we'd given was it was around passes to the Nike store or the Nike's employee store. And so I guess it would go for any other employee store that's out there. But in 2008, you have to remember that the laws were different in 2008. Legislative administrative interest was around your government agency. So if your agency had any interest in whoever was offering that access to their employee store, you were restricted. In 2009, that was changed to my individual decision or voting powers. And so, again, it kind of goes back to what I talked about before the break, was is the only people that would ever be restricted from accepting, and it's not accepting access to the store, because the ethics law doesn't prevent access to anything in Oregon. I just want to be clear about that. It would be accepting merchandise for less than the value that normal people would have to pay for that don't have access or don't have access to those discounts. But again, that would be a very few people that would actually be a decision maker on these discounted offers. So I would say the majority of public officials in the state would not be decision makers or voters. So that's what this was around. It was around that legislative administrative interest in the agency, not in the individual. So this advisory opinion that was put in front of me that came out on October 7th, 2008, isn't correct and should be actually off of our website at this point.
Okay. Did you see the Dash 1 amendments?
I did see the Dash 1 amendments.
So based on what you just said related to access, the fact that the Dash 1 amendments begin with the word access, are we going to need a different word in there to solve the problem that arose in that opinion last year? Or do you think this resolves and clarifies the situation?
Sure, Hunt. The ethics laws do not prevent public officials from accessing. And what I think about access is actually getting into the store or getting online into the store. Where the laws come about as far as gift provisions go is in getting something for less than value. So I don't know if a discount is offered to others in the same way, such as, you know, right now I'm sure you can pick an ad out for, say, Best Buy here in town, and there's probably a discount on a television, I would presume, and that discount's offered to everybody in the same way, and so anybody can accept that discount, including public officials. Maybe an example would be computers. At my agency, I'm the decision maker on buying computers, and so I would be restricted from accepting some kind of special offer from, say, Hewlett-Packard when I buy computers from there. But if that same offer is at a retail outlet that anybody can get, not just me because I have access to buying computers for my agency, then I could accept that.
So let me follow your example. So if the company is Hewlett-Packard we're talking about and you do not have the responsibility in your agency for buying computers, and HP has an employee store, not a wholesale open to the public store, but some kind of employee store. Is it currently a violation of the ethics law for you as a public employee who does not have the responsibility to make those purchases of computers? Is that currently a violation, or would it be a violation under this proposed bill as drafted?
It is currently not a violation. You are not a decision maker or a voter, and so you could access their employee store.
Representative Berger?
I'm looking at the Dash 1s. And just reading it as just an ordinary person, I would say that I couldn't go to Costco.
can't do the food sampling.
I guess I'm trying, Chair Hunt, I don't know if it's proper for me to ask you a question, but did you mean if this was in there, you don't think you'd go to Costco?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably the reason for that is we don't get into this whole idea of access to people that sell goods to us. I mean, that's not part of the ethics laws. I mean, we don't restrict people to have access to what everybody else in the state of Oregon has. And so if you put this in, it would actually, I guess, make it clear that you do have access. I think that's what they're trying to do.
It's the opposite.
But I have some reservations about talking about what you do have access to, because then somebody's going to ask me, do I have access to other things that aren't listed here?
I would have access, because this is the opposite of what I was thinking.
Yes, yeah, this would be.
I could go to Costco. Thank goodness, because now I can't.
No,
my husband would be very in favor of that.
Now you can. Just to be very clear, now you can. Access to Costco is available to anybody that pays Costco fees to be a member of Costco. And so whether you're a public official or just not a public official, you have access to Costco.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. Your testimony sounds to me as though what you might be saying is that this bill isn't needed to allow access to a business organized for the sole purpose of exclusively selling products at wholesale or discount prices, and that passing a bill like this might actually make people wonder if there's some other kind of access that you're not allowed to do because they're not mentioned.
Chair Hunt, Representative Barnard, that is one of my worries, yes, that once we open up that door and say what you do have access to, we're going to have to figure out everything you might have access to.
Mr. Chair, could you explicitly answer the first part of my question?
Sure. Remind me. I'm sorry.
I think what you've told us is that currently a public employee has access to a business organized for the sole purpose of exclusively selling products at wholesale or discount prices because of the operation of the existing law.
Chair Hunt, Representative Barnard, that's correct.
Thank you. That was the question.
So let me follow up on Representative Barnhart's. So the opinion that you just referenced, the more recent opinion that you just referenced, identified a challenge and a barrier in the current law that this bill was attempting to impact. If this bill, as drafted, doesn't fix that problem, what would be the words that would be needed to fix the problem that arose in the ethics position paper that you were just excerpting?
Chair Hunt, I don't know if it can be something that can be fixed, because like I said, it goes back to legislative administrative interest. The legislature in the last session narrowed that definition down to a pretty finite group of people, and that was the decision makers and voters. So to actually allow them to have discounts that others aren't afforded, I just want to make that clear, like Costco, or I don't know, I'm trying to think of other discounts in my head that's out there, but ones that aren't afforded to others. In other words, this was a specific program for government employees.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to change the definition of legislative administrative interest to allow everybody to have access to unlimited gifts, and I don't think that was ever the purpose of, because we would have no restrictions on any gifts. So there's always going to be those people that are restricted because of the authority that they have. And like I said, it was narrowed down from, instead of the government agency, so every employee in the agency gets caught up in my authority as the executive director, it got down to me being the decision maker. I probably didn't answer your question real well, but it'd be hard for us to do that.
Yeah. Representative Freeman.
I'll be brief. I think you got to where I needed to hear. This is more about state employees. It's not about the elected officials, because we have a vote. That part's correct. So when my son, who runs for Team Nike, is offered to go to the employee store and buy Nike tennis shoes, like an employee, I still have to say no.
It would be on your decision or vote. If you have a vote on Nike, you would be restricted from accepting discounts from Nike. So if Nike has one or more bills before the legislature, which you'd be a voter on, you and your relatives would be restricted, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Holby, did you have your hand up?
I did, Mr. Chair, but I'm not exactly sure why.
You're under no obligation to speak, Representative Holby.
I know that, but so I guess I'm, if you bear with me just a second, because you sort of confused me. I thought I understood this, and now I'm a little bit confused. I'm worried whether or not we really need this particular bill at this point in this amendment for the reason that if this access is already not a gift, why are we declaring that it's not a gift? And maybe I'm misunderstanding that, because if we declare it not a, this access not a gift, that like you led me to believe, that now we may have to worry about defining every other types of access, or we would assume that we don't have access to something else by putting this in. Did that make sense?
No.
or am I like...
I mean, it seems like your question, Representative Holby, and maybe several of our questions are not so much to Mr. Burson, but we may be wise in either asking Mr. Burson to sit down with... I mean, I think there are several different industries that are potentially impacted by the way this is right now. And I think a lot of our questions are aimed at the empty chairs because they were just were not able to be here today. So maybe we're wiser off asking Mr. Burson to sit down with some of these folks, get some discernment of exactly where the problem is, where the potential solutions are, and then, I mean, it'd be fabulous if you with them could bring back something to us that clearly identifies the problem and clearly identifies the solution that bridges those gaps. Would you be willing to sit down with them?
Chair Hunch, yes, I would be. I don't know who these folks are, but you can certainly have them contact me.
Mr. Stembridge will be happy to be your dating service.
Okay, great.
We'll try to put together the interested parties and see where we go with it.
That'd be great.
Representative Barnhart.
You know, it would be really helpful to me, and maybe it's something that's already on your website and I can go look it up. It would be really helpful to me to figure out how we reconcile the two of the ideas that you just talked about. The first one is the idea that if it's open to the public in general, like a discount on chicken today at the grocery store, how that's not a gift to a public official, even if you're, I'm assuming, voting on something having to do with grocery stores or chicken raising. On the other hand, the answer that you then gave about the Nike employee store, vis-a-vis someone who happens to have a father who is a legislator with a bill involving Nike in front of the system someplace, when the son is there, not because he's the son of a legislator, but because he's on a track team. I think that was the question, essentially. I would like, and maybe not today, but a little bit better understanding of how you parse it that way, because those seem to me like they're the same thing.
Chair Hunt, Representative Barnhart, like I said, we're trying to do kind of simple analysis right now, and that, like I said, Nike may be offering all or several track teams out there their merchandise because they want them running. But I think the example was access to the employee store, and it could be other than track merchandise that they're able to buy at a discounted price. But we'd be happy to do that. The restrictions that I talked about with legislative administrative interests, the vote that you folks took back in 2009 really didn't you folks were still on the hook. You're still voters,
right.
And so it didn't kind of narrow that down for you, but it really did was all those other employees out there that really aren't decision makers, that are just, you know, sitting behind desks in place, answering telephones, doing things that they really make no decisions for the agency, but they do their job. They were given access to these type of events. Going back to your first question, a gift in our laws is defined as something of value that's not offered to others. And so that's why I talk about offered to others. Your chicken example, everybody that walks in the grocery store gets, you know, I don't know what the price of chicken is, but gets that discount on chicken.
So, Mr. Chair, so that's the distinction.
Right. Not offered to
others. In the first example, anybody can walk in, with the money can walk in the grocery store and buy the chicken at a discount, if that's what's being offered that day. The other example is only a limited set of people are authorized to use the other store, and that's the issue.
That is correct, Representative Barnhart. And like I say, the commission's come back and rule and defined others as a significant portion of that group. So, you know, anybody that wants a discount on a car that's in the paper, you know, obviously it's available to anybody that goes in there. So we can go on with that. But I'd be happy to meet with that group. I think that might be the solution.
Good. Thank you. Seeing no other questions.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming forward. We'll look forward to having you back. Anyone else like to testify on 3505? Close the public hearing on House Bill 3505 and open a work session on House Bill 2433.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2433 extends the deadline by 5 days for filing nomination petition or declaration of nomination and for filing voters' pamphlet information in the event of an untimely vacancy in partisan elective office. If the vacancy occurs after the 80th day before the 70th day before the date of the primary election. Mr. Chairman, this one has no amendment, and I would point out that if this had been in effect when in the untimely death of our beloved treasurer, Ben Westland, the prospective candidates would have had an extra 5 days to file.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to remember the timing. Under the way it proceeded, they had 2 days approximately to file. Maybe, Steve, you want to come forward and just...
He's dying to.
I think the way the current law was written, and this was the first time this had occurred, I think folks who were interested in filing had something like 2 days, but you want to remind us of that, Steve?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Steve Trout, State Election Director. The current law is that nominations are due on the 70th day before the election. So I don't remember exactly the date of Mr. Westland's passing, but there is no provision currently for an extension. That's what this bill does for those circumstances if a vacancy would occur during that 10-day window.
So am I correct, Steve, that currently if someone were to die on noon on the filing deadline, under that circumstance, people would just have 5 hours in order to file for that office, and that would be the deadline, current law?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And under this, the absolute minimum they would have under the worst-case scenario would be how many days?
Mr. Chairman, five days. So if the vacancy occurred between the 80th and the 70th day, they'd have until the 65th day before the election. So 5 days to file the nomination papers and then an additional 2 days to submit their voter's pamphlet information.
And those new deadlines give you enough space to align those candidates into the same track for the same voter's pamphlet and the same ballot, and you basically could stay on track?
Mr. Chairman, yes, because it's not going to happen very often, and when it does, hopefully it's just going to be one person. It's not going to be a mass of candidates filing under that window, so we should be able to absorb them into the normal timeline or into the normal process.
Questions for Steve? We heard this bill a couple weeks ago, and there are no amendments. Representative Berger? Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2433 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2433 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Amy, please call the roll.
Representative
Levy? Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Hunt?
Aye. Representative Olson's excuse. Motion carries. Unless anyone would like to carry it, Representative Berger has said she'd be willing to carry it.
She's really good at it.
Okay. She's really good at it.
Oh.
She is. Outstanding. Way to suck up to Berger. Close the work session on House Bill 2433, and we...
The legislative draft.
Yeah, we at your place you saw LC 3996. We're up under possible introduction of committee measures. LC 3996.
We have a work session open for the introduction.
It's just
Open
a work session to for possible introduction of committee measures.
This LC 3996. It's for a concurrent resolution. It commemorates IBM on the occasion of its centennial.
Apparently, IBM was feeling threatened by the city of Gladstone not having their centennial recognized. So,
okay, Mr. Chair, I move that LC 3996 be introduced as a committee bill, dated 4/5/11.
Representative Berger moves that LC 3996, dated April 5th, 2011, be introduced as a committee measure. And she would note her customary, your vote for this signals neither approval nor dissent of this
measure.
I would.
Any
discussion?
We had an audience.
Any objection? So approved. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.